All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. They've got now 115,412 students at all of the campuses of Indiana University, not just Bloomington, but they got campuses everywhere. But we got to get the African American students up because it kind of declined 6.4% going into this new academic year. And that's one of the goals and the missions of Indiana University from the guy at the top. And that is the president, Dr. Michael McRobbie. And he's in the house along with the Dean, James Winbush. Mr. President, welcome.
Thank you very much, Amos. Delighted to be here.
When I looked at the figures to go from 110,000 students last academic year to 115,000 overall system-wide, that's a great accomplishment in this economy, in this competition among universities. But you've got a three-year decline of African Americans system-wide. What's the university going to do about that?
Well, I think the first thing is that year to year, from last year to this year, the number was about flat on most campuses, but down on two. Mm-hmm. And if I focus on that for a minute, then I'll get to the bigger picture. On those two campuses, one saw an overall decline in enrollments. The other is probably a variety of factors in that area, but this concerns me. The fact that the numbers were flat, it's disappointing. The fact that they declined somewhat is disappointing, and we've taken a variety of actions to try to address this. One of them is that all of our campuses have specific diversity officers on those campuses. Mm-hmm. I took the decision now last month, and we announced it, that now, from now on, all of the campus diversity officers will have a joint report to Dr. Winbush as well. And part of that is to enable him to bring the authority and the impetus of his office to help us kind of reinvigorate all of those efforts on all of those campuses to make sure not only don't we slide again, but that we start to increase those numbers. Now, Amos, if I can just go on to say that overall in the university over the last 7 or 8 years, we've seen a pretty steady increase in most minority populations on most of our campuses. You look at the regional campuses, you look at IUPUI and so on, the figures are pretty good. What I've done over the last year is an analysis to see, after having put considerable effort into this field over a number of years, where have we really not made many gains? Mm-hmm. And the place where we haven't made significant gains, in my view, is among the African-American population on the Bloomington campus. Mm-hmm. So in the new appointments that I've made over the last now about 6 months, I've appointed Dr. Winbush, who's been an extremely successful dean of the graduate school, to the position of the Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Multicultural Affairs. And then I've appointed another business school professor. I'm rating the business school all the time for my senior administrators.
That's why it's a good business school.
That's right. Martin McCrory. He's specifically focused on the issue of underrepresented students on the Bloomington campus as the Vice Provost for Diversity on the campus. And then, as you know, Joyce Rogers, who had a very distinguished career as the CEO of Black Expo, and was a vice president for a period at Ivy Tech, has now joined IU as a vice president in our foundation. And one of her goals will be focusing on the minority recruitment issue, especially among African Americans on the Bloomington campus. Plus, I put significant new resources into this field as well.
Let me go to Bloomington, because I think a lot of listeners don't realize that the standards at Bloomington have been tightened over the last several years. That it used to be way, way back in the day that if you just had a high school diploma, you could walk out of high school, take off your cap and gown, and walk into the campus in Bloomington. And Bloomington now, when I look at the average SAT scores compared with IUPUI and your regional campuses, they're like 100, 100 and a half points higher in the verbal and the math than the other campuses. So is part of the challenge that you're going to be looking for the best and brightest African-American students in the state, but then that also means everybody else in the state is looking for them, and that's before you get to Harvard and Yale and USC and Northwestern and goodness knows every place else. Is that one of the challenges?
Well, that is one of the challenges, in part at least. I think top achieving African American students in the state are in demand from other institutions, and we see a number of them leave. We would like to find ways of trying to reverse that too, and to try to attract more of those students to Indiana University. And again, I think part of that is a question of climate. Part of it is a reinvigorated recruiting effort. I think you're right. When those students of that quality are being recruited as vigorously as I know places like Harvard, University of Chicago, USC. I've had children of those institutions, and I've seen how vigorously they recruit generally. We have to match the vigor of those recruiting efforts. But a second part of it, though, is that we don't have a standard for admission that is purely based on SATs or GPAs and so on. We do have holistic evaluation as part of the process of admitting students, and we do endeavor to take into account the backgrounds of students, which high schools they've been to, whether that high school is a school that has particular difficulties such that if a student is doing well there, though they may not compare as well as some other high schools, that deserves special consideration, and they are admitted under those conditions and so on. So we never want to ever have just a single standard for admission to the Bloomington campus, but we are mindful that nor do we want to recruit students who are bound to fail, who simply don't have the preparation to be able to succeed on the Bloomington campus and leave the campus with a whole pile of debt and nothing else to show for it.
When you talk to your deans, are they telling you this remediation problem with students not just coming to Indiana University from Indiana schools but from across the country is getting worse?
I don't think I've heard any dean say it's getting worse, partly because We to a large extent, have got out of the remediation business. Mm-hmm. When we got out of the associate degree business, that was actually just about the time I became president, we handed over the whole remediation business to Ivy Tech, and a lot of the remediation is done there now. There is a certain amount of specialist work in those areas still done on all the campuses, but I don't really hear that. I think probably it'd be interesting to hear what other institutions say about that.
And you all, has Ivy Tech then become a feeder system? Is that another way to improve African American enrollment at IU? Is make sure that you've got a feeder system started? I know Ball State has a system where, we'll let you into Ball State, but you got to go through Ivy Tech first. Is IU coming to that kind of a system?
Yes. In fact, we have a program like that. On the Bloomington campus, where a promising student who's not able to get into IU can spend their first year, their freshman year, living in the dorms at IU, but taking classes at Ivy Tech, and if they do well enough at Ivy Tech, they can then transfer to the Bloomington campus, and that's been a fairly popular program as well. So yes, very very much we see a way of trying to address some of the issues we've been discussing lies in closer cooperation with Ivy Tech, which we have over recent years tried to put in place. And I think having appointed Josh Rogers, who of course having spent I think it was 5 or 6 years at Ivy Tech, she brings a deep knowledge of all of those kinds of issues too.
On 239-1310, this afternoon's name is with the president of Indiana University, Dr. Michael McRobbie. James Winbush is here, vice president for all things diversity, et cetera. 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Getting students in is one part. Keeping them there, not just academically, but the greater problem is keeping them there financially. The greatest bulge consistently year after year in terms of African Americans post high school career is over 30%, one third of all African American adults who have had some schooling, a third of them have had some college. And then it falls down to 15-16% in this community who actually have bachelor's degrees. How is that the other challenge? You got them there. How do you keep them there without them either going broke or something happens at home where they can't meet the cost or they go over or the legislature keeps saying, Dr. McRobbie, would you lower that doggone tuition? Because tuition is getting, you're now the cost of a Hyundai. And it needs to go back to being the cost of a Tesla or something.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say a couple of things that let me respond to, and maybe James might want to pick up on some of the other points. But firstly, the general issue of student debt is of concern right across the student population. And I literally in the last few days have seen some figures coming out of our CFO's office that seem to suggest that the all the work that we've put into trying to reduce student debt through a better understanding of student loans, mm-hmm. and it's a better control over how money is apportioned and so on, is having a big effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, as much an issue for many African-American students as it is for students of all races, that I don't think we have done it. I don't think most universities have done a particularly good job in the past of actually helping students both gain the personal skills to manage their personal finances. It's amazing how many come out without much knowledge about how to even do a simple domestic budget.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a good job of that, nor actually understanding the implications of debt. Quite often people are taking on student debt for domestic consumption purposes, and we need to make it clear that right. Debt has to be taken on purely for educational expenses.
So are you talking about whether it's the Pell Grant type things, or you're taking the loan and then the student gets some of the money and then they're going out and buying the television set?
Right.
Those kind of things.
Right, that kind of thing, yeah.
239-1310, 239-1310. From an academic standpoint, you've got, on the one hand, you got a legislature yelling, screaming, and hollering at you. You got the Commission on Higher Education saying improve your graduation rate so that your overall graduation rates are as good as the graduation rates for the basketball team. What are the other challenges your system faces?
In the university, I think I'll comment on firstly on what you just said then. The last session of the legislature, the last budget session, actually was a pretty good one for higher education. I think a number of the legislators took a conscious decision that it was time to really reinvest in higher education. So we saw an overall 3.7% increase in the operating budget of the university. We saw four new buildings mm-hmm. Approved, or one of which had been recently been approved before, but this time it had been authorized to proceed. And that, of course, is the one at our Northwest campus,
mm-hmm.
Long overdue, and I'm delighted that that'll be starting construction soon. And we saw an increase in our basic funds for the renovation of the campuses. All of that helped us actually do exactly what you were talking about before, that is keep tuition to the lowest level. The increase is the mm-hmm. lowest level it's been in 40 years at the university. And, of course, that benefits everybody, but it benefits the African-American students as well. But I think obviously keeping tuition increases at the lowest possible levels to keep making an IU education as affordable as possible for the whole population of the state of Indiana, I think, is obviously one of our key challenges and problems going forward. Providing the facilities, adequate facilities to all of our students, is an important challenge. But I think as a research university, we shouldn't forget that we are one of the 60 elite research universities in the country, the American Association of Universities. And that research enterprise is the kind of enterprise that has led to all kinds of breakthroughs in services, new inventions, and so on, that directly impacts the lives of every citizen of this country. And if the funding for research at all universities is declining, it means less innovation. It means less discoveries on campuses nationwide, and that has a direct effect on the standard of living in this country. So one of the things I'm most concerned about is the decline in funding for research from the federal government. And myself and my fellow presidents have been vigorously trying to persuade Congress that this is a dangerous thing for the country to reduce research funding.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is with the president of Indiana University, Dr. Michael McRobbie, and we're with James Winbush. We talk a lot about students, but there's two other areas of a university's mission that we don't talk a lot about diversity. And one is the men and women who teach the students that you're trying to get there. And then you mentioned the buildings, and you're a multi-million, close to $1 billion enterprise, and which means you spend a lot of money on things, and that is utilizing minority-owned businesses as an entity that is not only a nonprofit but also a quasi-governmental entity. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing in terms of putting? And here's where this came up. So I go to a presentation earlier this week with one of the researchers from the Public Policy Institute at IU. And he and I got in this argument about something. And he made me mad enough that I went home to the website. And I'm going, you know, how's he going to question me on demographic data? And I know more about demographic data than this guy does. And then I looked at the staff of this institute. This John Krause, you know, great guy. Remember John when he was young and energetic as a deputy mayor for Bill Hudnut. And I'm going, okay, you got an African-American doing PR. You got an African-American doing an ultra-clerical job. You have no African-American researchers at a public policy institute in Indianapolis for a great research university. Y'all couldn't find it. That raised my question. Okay, wait a minute. Where are we on diversity of the people doing the research and the people teaching as well as that? How does that fit in? James Winbush is saying, well, I think that's part of what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes.
How does that work into what Dean Winbush's mission is?
Well, this is something that's been of considerable concern to me. I've seen deans in the university put a lot of effort into trying to recruit minority faculty, African-American faculty and other faculty and so on, recruit them and then lose them 3 or 4 years later to the Harvards and the Yales of this world and so on. And an enormous amount of effort has been put into recruiting a relatively small number of faculty. And it's clear we have to increase the sort of pipeline for minority faculty in not any – into any university, but across the nation as well. Right. So in reflecting on the kinds of changes that I've made over the last couple of months, I looked at this question. Our numbers of minority faculty remain pretty low. And I wanted to find a way in which we could systematically try to address this at a more fundamental level. And the way I've done that is to invest in programs to increase the number of minority graduate students in the university, because the graduate students become the faculty in 5-10 years' time as well. Now, it's fortuitous that Dr. Winbush happens to be the dean of the graduate school, where he's done a great job. I actually, in fact, appointed James.
This guy's done more jobs than I do.
I appointed James as dean of the graduate school when I was provost as well. And he has, I think, developed both ways of increasing the number of students in this area, but a deep understanding and deep experience in this area as well. So he seemed to me to be the perfect person to take on the broader job of trying to increase the diversity of the university, but in particular to focus on how can we increase the number of minority graduate students in the university. So I've invested $1 million a year in Dr. Winbush's office, specifically focused on trying to increase the pipeline of minority faculty in the university.
Dean Winbush is part of the problem also, this the larger problem of American students today don't want to get into teaching, whether it is at the college level, whether it is at the elementary or secondary level?
That's part of the problem. There are still a number of individuals who are not really familiar with what academics do or what the academic enterprise is all about. And that's one of the reasons why we have programs, especially for undergraduate students, to help them understand what it's like to have a career as being a researcher, as being an instructor in an institution like ours or smaller institutions. For an example, tomorrow we have the IU Undergraduate Research Conference. Mm-hmm. And that particular conference includes undergraduate students from all of our campuses that will be coming to Bloomington. It rotates between Bloomington and IUPUI. Last year was here at IUPUI. And so we have nearly 200 students who will be coming to talk about the research that they have been doing, but we will also talk to them about opportunities in graduate school that will lead to academic careers, but also careers in business as well as with government, not-for-profits.
239-1310. Let me go to the phones. And Anonymous, hi there.
Hi, Amos, and hello, Dr. McRobbie. Thank you for coming on. Several comments. I've had several students graduate from recently in the last several years graduate from Bloomington, IU Bloomington. And, you know, they had a, for the most part, they had a great experience. They graduated in 4 years, and one graduated a little less. Okay, and, you know, there were some concerns, and they were among the students who were petitioning and rallying for change. And I guess what, as a parent, and as part of the community that is supporting our students, what we would like to know is, okay, so we've got Dr. Winbush there. You know, we want to know what changes have been made. Some of the things that they were fighting for, they said that there was a lot of turnover, and, you know, there weren't enough advisors, and there was turnover among staff of, like, the Hudson and Holland program, which is a program to, you know, encourage the persistence and the retention of students. So the resources just didn't seem to be there like they should, you know, like they needed to be in order to encourage these students. And the morale was low. So I guess what we want to know is, how is this new Dr. Winbush, is he just a figurehead, or is he someone that is really, you know, to kind of keep us happy and make it look like change is going on, or is there really going to be substantive change for our students who are of African descent specifically? Our students who were descendants of slaves and people who fought for this country and built this country, you know, and made this country prosperous. So that's basically, you know, some of the things that we want to know. Also, in terms of the communication to the community at large, I found that people in Indianapolis were not knowledgeable about what was going on down there on campus in terms of these things. You know, what communication, is there a way to improve the communication to the alumni and, I guess, other people who have parents who have students down there to give them some assurance, and just on a regular basis, you know, maybe a quarterly or a semiannual or some sort of letter, you know, state of affairs, a state of union letter, you know, to let us know what's going on with diversity.
All right, that's a good point. Dr. McRobbie put out a letter earlier this week about diversity. Where did that go?
It went out to the whole university community. All 16,000 faculty and staff, and it went out to the alumni mailing list. That went out to tens of thousands of people. In particular, that's an update I do about every one or two a month.
So her kids, being alumni, would have gotten it, but mom who helped pay and dad who helped pay the bill might not have. Dean Winbush, should parents be included in that? Because, well, you know, a parent might, they're not an alumni, but they might become a donor. You never know.
Indeed,
they might
indeed.
Help them out with something indeed. Or recruit.
Correct, correct. First of all, I really appreciate the call, because I've always been under the belief that actions speak much louder than words. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, we have been busy. It's been a very fast 4 months, but we have been able to get a lot done. And there is evidence that with the infrastructure that we're working to put in place, that we should see significant change. We do work very hard to make sure that our signature programs, the Hudson Holland program that she mentioned, the Groots program, the 21st Century program, that they have the staff that they need, that they have the resources that they need. We have a new director of Hudson Holland. She's been on the
job
about
a year. What is Hudson Holland? There may be listeners listening that don't have a clue as to what that is.
Yeah, this is one of our signature programs. This is a program for high-ability African-American, low-income, first-generation students. The average GPA for Hudson Holland is well above 3.5. These are students who graduate within 4 years. They have a a graduation rate that mirrors that of the campus. It is a great program, and we have had lots of successes from the students who have gone through the program. They have gone to graduate school, they're doctors, they're lawyers, a wonderful program that is indeed one of our signature programs. So our director for Hudson Holland, Marcia McGriff, she was on the IUPUI campus for a number of years. She's doing a fantastic job. She has advisors. She has really the resources that she needs to continue with the excellence of that program.
On the advisor question, are there enough of them to be able to case manage students, to be able to talk to them, to not, it's not like one advisor to 700 Hudson Holland scholars?
Oh, no. The ratio is much lower than that. But of course, we're always evaluating, working to make sure that we have an adequate number. And so that evaluation process is sort of an ongoing process. We want to make sure that they have what they need so that the students get what they need, indeed.
What do parents get in terms of communication? So if there are people listening and they got a kid right now in Indiana University, what kinds of communication do they get from the university, just in terms of, hi, parent, just always come and tell you hello? And is there any kind of communication, or even to parents of African-American students, to be able to communicate and say, hey, here's what's going on?
Well, you know, we can't talk about the performance of the students because we get into all sorts of privacy
issues. Because they're kind
issues.
Of a quasi – but I'm not so right. much the performance of right. the student, but just the overall – hi, we're your university, where your kid is. Just thought, here's some things we just like you to know, not necessarily about your student, but about the university.
Indeed. And certainly we need to do more outreach with parents. One of the things that we have been doing is meeting with alumni. We actually had an alumni event here this past Saturday night at the Marriott, and we had a goodly number of alumni. And I was there, Martin McCrory, who is the chief diversity officer for the Bloomington campus, was there. Mary Turner, the new groups director, was there. So we have that for alumni. We do need to do more in terms of communicating with parents.
And I guess the reason I bring this up today, in high schools flood parents with all kinds of information electronically through email. I mean, that's what high schools are doing. But you do make a point. Once you hit college, then it's like, well, okay, yeah, we want you to pay the money, but we're not going to tell you about the student, and the grades are going to the student, not to you.
Well, that's by law.
But see, people listening may not know that is that. So that's not a school. Uncle did that. Is that a federal thing, or is that a state thing, or both?
It's a federal thing.
Yes,
federal.
Uncle did that.
Yeah.
See, the things we're learning that Uncle does.
But I must say, I don't think that we've done as good a job, and I'm talking about the whole university, as we could in communicating with parents. Again, I've seen what private universities do, and we need to improve what we're doing there. In fact, hopefully we will be announcing fairly soon another new appointment in the foundation that will have an impact in this area as well.
239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking Indiana University. When we come back, somebody wants to know about older folks going back to school. Aha. That's a good point. You may have questions about, it's your university, it's Indiana. They're everywhere. You know, it's Bloomington, IUPUI, East, Fort Wayne, Kokomo, Northwest, South Bend, and South. You didn't even know there was an IU Southeast. Southeast, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos on Monday, live. Sarah Taylor, who is the head of the Indiana Lottery Commission. That is the governmental agency that supervises the lottery. She'll be here live on Tuesday. Y'all been asking, Amos, when can we get to hear from young people that are doing things in the community? We got some young leaders that'll be here on the program on Tuesday. And then coming up on Monday, December 2nd, in our 2 p.m. hour, the new director of the state's Department of Child Services. Oh, Lord. She'll be here right after Thanksgiving. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. I got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos, says, my child will graduate from Indiana University in May. She has no idea of her next move. I think Hudson and Holland should assist students on transition. So she's a senior, It doesn't say what she's majoring in, and she has no idea what she's going to do next, and sounds like, I was going to assume, they're in the Hudson Holland program. Would that counselor be talking or should be talking to that student to say, okay, you're going to get the degree, now what you going to do?
Certainly should be. We work with students to provide some career counseling, some advice about some of their career options, but also to make them aware of career options. I don't know what her major might be, but certainly the
text messenger, text us back. We'd like to know what school and what major.
Yeah, because the College of Arts and Sciences has an office that is very well staffed, and they do a terrific job in counseling students. And of course, the School of Business has a world-renowned career services office.
But President McGrabie brought up something when he was talking about budgeting and understanding, you know, taking on debt and what have you. And when I talk to high school students who are on this program, I'm always asking, okay, what do you want to do, you know, when you grow up, what do you want to do with your life? And a lot of times young people have that idea. Shouldn't young people, if they're in college today, have some idea what they want to do? So if you're in that senior year and you're going to walk in May and you're going to give them that diploma, they ought to have some idea what they're going to do.
Well, for the university as a whole, this has been an issue too, Amos. In fact, in my State of the University speech a couple of months ago, I don't know whether you had a chance to look at it. In there, I opened the speech by saying that last year I had asked all of the deans and campus leaders to basically redouble their efforts and review everything that they were doing in both academic advising, that is, ensuring that the students really understand how to graduate in 4 years, but also in career counseling. So even if a student comes in and doesn't really know what they're going to do, they can start to get some idea of what the alternatives are as well. And we've put in place across all the campuses, under the overall leadership of Vice President John Applegate, a series of enhanced programs all aimed at trying to improve the quality of the career advising in all our schools on all our campuses. As Dr. Wimbush said, the best school for this is the Kelly School of Business. I think it ranks among employers number one in the country in terms of the university or the school that they most like to work with in terms of career advising. I've said that's the gold standard for all of our schools. I want everybody to aspiring to be as good as the Kelly School of Business.
Let me go to William at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing, Mr. Amos?
Fine.
I was have a question for your guest concerning the veterans that have been rated over 50%. And I was just wondering if he have a program in place that will accept them to classes that would allow them to continue their education in a field that they had previously started in. Psychiatry, business, or whatever it is that will prepare them to start a new career sometime in their future.
Is IU set up for the older student, or is that Ivy Tech's mission?
Oh no, it's very much
our
mission, but it depends on what that the student has. There's a figure I believe that there's a figure around of there being something like 600,000 people in Indiana who have got incomplete degrees, that is, have started a degree and haven't finished it. I believe that's the figure from memory and so on. And if you could even improve, if you could get 10%, 5% over a number of years of that group actually graduated and through, that would have a huge impact on the number of Hoosiers with degrees. So one of the things that our online program, it's called IU Online, is focused on is online degree completion programs. Mm-hmm. This is, in my view, one of the most important areas where we can use online technologies to help a student who may have done 2 or 3 years for whatever reason, family reasons, financial reasons, and what have you, were unable to finish that degree, went off, did other things. Maybe they served in the military, maybe they did work for a period and so on. And they're a year or two credit short, that doing it online where they'll occasionally come to the campus for summer sessions or something like that, but where most of that work is actually done at home and where they communicate with their instructors electronically and so on. We've seen a big increase in the number of students who are enrolling in those programs, and we've had a significant increase in the number of new degrees that we're offering that are effectively online completion degrees or online completion courses as well.
Let me go. I appreciate it, William. Let me go to State Representative Cherish Pryor at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. McRobbie and Dr. Wimbush. I appreciate both of you being on Amos. I just wanted to let the listeners know that from my perspective, I'm extremely encouraged by the latest developments of IU in trying to ensure that we get more minority students and African-American students on the campus. We, as a Black Caucus, some of us have met with Dr. Wimbush. We are trying to get an additional meeting set up with him. We met with Dr. McRobbie. But I think Dr. Wimbush has done a great job trying to reach out to not only the Black Caucus members, but also to the community. And I think faculty, staff, and students. Representative Shackelford and I attended a game, football game at IU maybe a month or so ago. And the feedback that we have been receiving from faculty and staff and students has really been positive. And I think they're headed in the right direction. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do, but I do think that with the new team that has been assembled and hopefully additional people that will be added to the IU staff and team, focusing on and making sure that we get more students down at IU and those students graduate, making sure that we have a more diverse faculty and more diverse staff, I think that is forthcoming. And so I think hopefully a year from now, the numbers, all of their numbers, will be on the uptick and hopefully uptick significantly. So thank you all and continue to do a great job. And Black Caucus definitely we will continue to work with you and want to hear back from the community as well. If they hear of any issues, so let us know that as well.
All right. Appreciate that. Let me go to Anonymous has a question about her son's schooling. Hi there.
How are you?
Fine.
How's your guest?
Hi.
My son at one time attended your school and left your school, went to Job Corps, left Job Corps, and now he's in Chef's Academy. And I'm thinking, okay, he said he wasn't getting the help that he needed when he was at Ivy Tech. So now he's in Chef's Academy. Well, went to Job Corps, left Job Corps, which they didn't help at all. I think they just had them children up there just to get, my understanding, just their high school diploma or GED
Hold on. I got a question. Your son was at Indiana University or at Ivy Tech? That's because that's two different schools.
Ivy Tech.
Oh, well, this is Indiana University.
And that was Ivy Tech.
Oh, well, see, we're talking to the president of Indiana University. That's a different school.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking Ivy Tech when you said that. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. What somebody had a question, didn't want to go on the air, and said, is IU thinking of opening a trade school for somebody that doesn't want to go the full 4 years? But that's not your mission.
No, it's not our mission. It's not our mission. Our mission is four-year degrees and then graduate degrees, master's degrees and so on, and doctoral degrees, PhDs and so on.
Let me go to Stella. She's got a comment about her daughter's schooling at 239-1310. Hi, Stella.
Hi. Real quick, Amos, nieces. We had nieces that had a great time at IU, finished. A couple of concerns that they did list to me and that I was shocked. They said that they had a teacher, I don't know if it was considered a TA or a professor assistant, but the classroom was so rowdy they couldn't learn, and they felt that the professor or / teacher instructor was concerned about her safety in the classroom. Well, I've seen that at IUPUI where the classroom, the cell phones go off, kids cuss in the classroom. And when I contrast that to what I see in elementary and high school kids, my question have become to some of the professors, who's teaching these kids citizenship? Because when they graduate, they go into a business, and based on some of the noise level, the distractions in the classroom, that wouldn't be expected. And I frowned upon that. So when my niece told me that she had a class and she couldn't learn in the classroom because the professor or teacher didn't have control of it, that was a concern for me. And then when I saw it myself, that was another concern. Then there was a couple of professors, African-American professors, that said that IU and IUPUI is not concerned about bringing in more minority students in terms of African-Americans. They're focusing on the international students. So I would like to get comments on that.
All right, great questions. First, international versus domestic, and then order in the classroom.
Well, those claims just aren't accurate. I mean, we're obviously proud of the increase in international students we have. We're also proud of the increase that we've had over the last 7 years in minority students. But we want to do better, and that's why I made some of the appointments and made some of the commitments of funding to improve what I think has already been a reasonably successful situation. But we want to make it better, and we know we can do better. First, with respect to noise in the classroom, all students, when they come to Indiana University, go through a period where we explain to them the sort of code of ethics and code of conduct for all students in the university, and that is something that they all commit to. Now, we have 115,000 students. We have tens of thousands of classes going on over a period of a year or so. Some are going to be noisy, some are going to be difficult, and so on. I think in general, most professors would say that classes are full of attentive students who are really focused on getting a great education. You can't graduate if you're goofing off in class.
Let me ask this, and this is something we always ask educational folks. We always tell our listeners that everybody has a boss. The only person that doesn't have a boss in this world is God Almighty. And we usually tell parents how to advocate for their students if they have a problem in school. But this is a university, so the parent doesn't have skin in the game. It is up to the student to advocate. So if a student is having a problem in the university, what is the chain of command? So let's just use the listener's example of a disruptive class where her daughter wasn't getting the learning. Right. What's the chain of command for that student?
I'd say that depending on what degree that student was involved in, it would be going to the associate dean or the equivalent for student affairs in that particular school.
Okay.
An alternative would be to go to the office of the dean for student affairs. So that,
okay,
they would be the two offices.
So the associate dean in that school, then the dean, then if the dean doesn't give you a good answer, then where does it go? To the provost?
It would probably go up to a vice provost and then to the provost.
So the vice provost, then the provost.
I think so, and then it comes to me.
Then it comes to you. That's what I'm trying to – but it has to be the student advocating, not mom, dad, grandma, grandpa.
Yes, it has to be the student, although I think if parents – we do occasionally receive comments from parents on certain matters, and we can, depending on – the case that they make, we can address those issues as well.
And we also have a student advocates office and right. So for students.
Is that at all the campuses or just at Bloomington?
I know for certain it's at Bloomington.
I believe it's on all the campuses.
It's at IUPUI.
And it's called Students.
I think so as well.
Students Advocate.
Right.
And that's all somebody that tries to, you know, get the squeaky wheel some grease.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, we'll be back with our remaining moments with Dr. Michael McRobbie, the president of Indiana University, after these. 239-1310, 239-1310. A couple of things. On campus safety and fraternities and sororities, maybe to Dean Wimbush, on African American fraternities and sororities, what's the situation, particularly in Bloomington? Some have been on probation, some have been behaving themselves, not behaving themselves. What is that situation? Because I got a couple of emails about that.
The situation right now, as far as I know, is that everything is going fine. I haven't heard of any problems, any issues as of late. So as far as I know, everything is going fine.
And on student safety, Dr. McRobbie, obviously there have been some well-publicized instances of safety issues predominantly off campus, not directly on your campuses. But it does worry people. How important is safety as well as behavior on campus and the First Amendment rights of protest, but not to disrespect any member of the university community?
Well, safety of the entire university population, all our students and faculty and staff, is a paramount concern to us, and it has been an area that we have continually focused on with programs and resources and personnel, certainly over the period I've been president. We always have to bear in mind people's First Amendment rights, but subject to their First Amendment rights, we will not tolerate any actions or any activity that in any way is injurious or threatening to anybody else in the university. I made that abundantly clear over and over again.
And your code of conduct at the university, you all have a lot of rules.
We do.
You have more rules. And students have to know those, sign off on those?
Yes, they have to. They have to sign off on those when they come to the university during their orientation period.
One last thing. How's football doing?
Well,
I think I don't have to worry about basketball.
It's been a difficult season. The Minnesota game was heartbreaking for all of us, and had we won that, we'd probably have a good chance of making a bowl. And who knows, we might beat Ohio State on the weekend. I think there's definite improvement there, we just have to hope for the best in the next two games. And of course, we'll certainly beat Purdue. And then we'll see how next year goes.
You know, and somebody asked me as we close. Somebody asked me about the basketball team, the two players, Cody Zeller and Oladipo, who left. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Well, they left after a year. What are they going to do with the green?" I said, "Trust me. If I know the coach and those two students, they're going to be sneaking back to Bloomington and continuing on their
right.
degree."
Cody, if I remember rightly, I think he had one semester to go, and he's going to do that, I think, part time or online or something.
Okay.
And he is expected to get a degree soon. I think Victor finished his degree. Victor
he
graduated.
He did?
Yeah,
yes.
Victor graduated.
He wasn't there that
yes,
long.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. He graduated in 3 years.
Yeah, he's sharp.
Ah, see the things you learned. So it wasn't like going to IU, getting the basketball experience, and then leaving without the degree. He went, got the money, and got the degree.
That's right. Yes. That's the right way to do it.
And that counts in your graduation rates.
It does indeed.
And then Cody would count your graduation rates too.
Yes, he will count.
Because athletes get to count five and 6 years.
Yes, he will count as well.
And then the legislature won't beat you up on those particular graduation rates.
I think our graduation rates have improved, and I think they're pleased, but always there's room for improvement.
And if you want more information about any of the campuses of Indiana University, you just start with indiana.edu, indiana.edu. Dr. Michael McRobbie, the president of Indiana University System. You know, Bloomington, they got chancellors, but he's the guy at the top of the pyramid. And Dean, Dr. Professor James Winbush, who's in charge of diversity, multiculturalism, and other good stuff, again, for the entire Indiana University system. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, who knows? So you need to be here. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, live at 1.